Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. This is the episode where we talk about how Bad Beard Blake is a sex-obsessed creeper, and we have the clips to back it up. Am I right, EZR?
More or less.
More or less.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how many people remember how sex-obsessed he was last season.
Yeah, all the men
on Twitter
in the house said he was gross for a bunch of testosterone-filled men, like in a house who had to deal with Claire, called him sex obsessed.
Yeah, and then he made the penis out of the clay, and then he also got a boner during the yoga. I mean, we talked about all of this.
And like we said, that doesn't translate to sex obsessed. That's just creepy gross.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think especially the sculpture penis to me is perhaps the most egregious of all of those, because the boner was only played during, like, what was it, Mental All, I think. I don't think that made primetime TV. And I mean, I guess there's a certain amount of involuntariness there that you could say, like, he didn't mean to get a boner on TV and therefore be like, look at the boner. But he did absolutely mean to sculpt a penis on TV. Yes.
And he was really proud of his erection, if you remember this. Right. He was especially proud. Do you remember that? Anybody?
I do remember, like, Tayshia laughing at it, and he was wearing, I think, like, very tiny little shorts on this, like, it was like a hot yoga spiritual crystals date or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in hindsight, proud of it. That's what it was that grossed me out. Because at the time, what are you going to do except laugh and be weird out, be kind of, But he was watching it, he's like, boners.
Yeah. Well, that's the same. That's just the same emotion he had this episode last night, because he grossly brought up sex positivity. He's like licking his lips, and he's like, he's like drooling to talk to Katie about sex positivity. He just can't help himself, and that's we have clips of that, don't we?
Right. Before we go into the sex positivity, let's just get the boring stuff out of the way, because they did have a normal date for a little bit. It was normal, and it seemed very magical. Like, they really liked each other. Hay in your hair stuff, right? Ew. The hay in the
he's
hair.
He's so gross.
They like each other, though, Craig.
I know. You called it last week. You said that Katie was going to like him. I think it's an egregious violation of the point system. Like, the point system should not allow this couple to be happening, but it is.
Okay, wait, forget about.
Yeah, we can't.
The sex
we
stuff.
We can't, have that only on the point system, because as we know, many people go outside of the point system as he's constructed it, Craig. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
so
what I point out all the time,
likes
is that women.
Blake.
Women like men that are below their point.
Wait. But this is not even that. This is not her making some exception. This is like pure animal magnetism. Would you say that?
I think women date ugly men for comfort.
But she thinks he's hot.
And she thinks he's hot. You're right. So it's a little, it's a disconnect.
God. For comfort, wow, Craig.
Yeah, so they can feel comfort in being
so they
the
feel
better
like
looking.
They're never
one.
Gonna get. He's never gonna get stolen. Right. Except that if you're a hot woman, some other hot woman's gonna be like, "That guy must be rad." So you will get.
That's
stolen.
Like that concept of, you know, they won't leave you because you're so much hotter than them.
Right.
Absolutely does not work, because a straight man will leave you for any reason, including, you know.
But in theory,
I agree with EZR that it looks like chemistry to me between Blake and Katie, that she clearly is into him, that there's something going on there. I did find it I guess, somewhat intriguing. He talks about, he's like a wildlife advocacy person.
Yeah, so let's go into that for a second. So I guess I'll play the clip.
All I do is advocate for wildlife. And you'll find out it's like the biggest passion for mine.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So, Craig, yeah, this goes into your point of they're actually saying something. He said something that she could have a real response.
Yeah, I did notice that during the date with Blake, is that they actually talked about things that a normal couple would talk about on a date.
Yeah.
There was a few times that happened.
And there is so much there. Imagine if you're on a first date and someone said that. There is so much to go into. He works in wildlife management, which to me could mean like he cleans the toilets. Like it could mean lots of things. You know, a park ranger.
He shovels dung.
Yeah, it just means a low. I mean, a park ranger is just a low, a cop for the park.
Right.
I'm saying this as someone who was training to be a park ranger until I realized what work went into it, and I was not super excited about it anymore. This doesn't sound as exciting as it was going to be.
Well, Blake makes it sound super exciting.
Right. But so this
is his compassion or whatever
it's
my compassion. I think that's what he says.
Said something where there could be so much follow up, so much real conversation, and she just goes, "Oh, that's interesting."
Yeah, exactly.
It just kind of trails off.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh my goodness, what is the deal with wildlife management in general? Why is it so ineffectual? How can we change it? Why aren't you a better wildlife manager? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's not on him, right? It's on the system.
Did you kill some poachers in Africa? That kind of stuff.
Right. What do you do when you go there?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
He said something somewhat real, and she kind of responds to it when he was mentioning they're talking about his wildlife advocacy, and he says sometimes he's in Africa for a month or longer at a time, right?
Mm.
And Katie responds, like, that's cool that he can do his own thing, basically.
Yeah, what is that?
And his response is, like, that is amazing that you are cool with that. like, he was so pumped that she had just said, like, oh, that's cool, you know? And yeah. I think it's because, like, my reading on it was he's basically saying, like, could you be in a relationship with somebody who goes away for long periods of time where you wouldn't be with them?
Yeah.
And her response seems to imply, like, yeah, you're doing some sort of independent thing outside of me. That seems pretty chill. I'm down with that. And he's like, oh, thank God. I bet that's been a problem for him in the past in relationships, that, like, he's dated people who are just like, oh, you just vanish for a month and I don't see you.
Well, why wouldn't he take her with him?
Well, she probably has her own stuff to do, and, you know, it's job, and you might not be able to bring a significant other or a spouse just, like, to your job.
Hmm.
Yeah. But also, you know, other than that, anyone who would say that has to, when you have an actual interesting job on The Bachelor that you really like, you must really like, and you're not trying to change that, doesn't that bump him up in points?
It might give him 1 point.
Okay, that's enough for me.
But that still doesn't get him close to Katie's range.
I don't think. Okay, well, I think it does.
I can see exactly what you're saying, EZR, that, like, for me, like, I don't find Blake physically attractive at all. Not my type, but something I definitely would look for in somebody I'm dating is, like, are they passionate about something interesting? You know what I mean? And
right.
He's passionate about something interesting. So automatically that makes him, like, more interesting and attractive to you.
Well, to you, but as EZR pointed out, Katie's response was,
Yeah.
Here, play the clip again and let's all listen to Katie's response. Now, picture yourself on a date with somebody. And you say, oh, my passion is wildlife. And imagine getting this response.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I can't.
I'd leave the date right there. I'd be like, see you later. This isn't working. Have a good life.
I probably am trained in whatever field Blake works in. So for me, personally, I am inherently interested. It's not fair, right? Because who knows? What was her job again?
She's a marketing exec.
Yeah, like bank marketing manager. Oh,
right. Why the hell would she care at all? I am super interested in that job, in Blake's job, whatever. I mean, I'm not interested in having it. I'm just, I'd have a lot of questions. I have a lot of follow-up to it.
Anybody
whatever.
Would. Anyone spends a month in Africa
too,
at
right?
a time.
Yeah.
You would have some questions.
We have generations that are invested, like Fern Gully, you know, is so invested in wildlife and would love to work with animals and would love to go outdoors all the time, for sure. And I think she would be one of them.
Well,
but
yeah, like, what
knows?
Part of Africa? Africa
right.
is a continent.
Continent, yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
That's true. She never asks like follow-up questions about like where do you usually go or what types of animals are you primarily working with or advocating for or whatever.
No,
I don't think her response was as bad as you're making it out to be, Craig. What would have been worse is if he'd been like, this is my big passion, wildlife advocacy. And instead of saying like, oh, that's cool, she said, that's nice.
Well, let's hear the clip one more time, but
oh
in its entire entirety.
Okay.
All I do is advocate for wildlife. And you'll find that's like the biggest passion for mine.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Compassion for mine.
That is so cool. I think he says that is the biggest compassion of mine.
He said he meant passion. He said
it comes out as compassion.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Well, okay, look, it doesn't matter. She's either not super hyped or she just couldn't answer. She's a lot is going on.
Because she's on a horse?
Because she's on a horse on a show with a camera in her face. Probably recorded after the fact. It's not very easy to like judge all of that, but in terms of him actually saying something that's not just fluff, filler, whatever conversation stuff, at least he brought that to the show. That's my point.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll give you
good.
credit. Yeah, his job gives him a point there.
Yeah,
you go.
All right, good.
So he's at two.
So now we can go, right. Okay, you said three, but now.
Craig,
what?
That is so, I gotta say, I think you are going a little too low in the point system.
I think it's classic rejection on Craig's end.
Yes.
Oh,
and I don't
no,
like
not
Blake,
at all.
But I think you're judging him a little too harshly in terms of your objective, in air quotes, system.
Well, bringing him back down. So okay, so if his job gives him a point, subtracting a point is how he gets all slurpy and drooly and like you know, about wanting to talk about sex with Katie after
okay,
all
we
know
about
him being sex obsessed.
Yeah, as predicted, he did take the sex positive angle.
He's like, well, I'm sex positive too.
Right, so here's your backup.
I want to personally know what has made you so open and like sex positive, but being like very vocal and public about it. Because, you know, I think a lot of people see like the surface level of just like the humor part to what you are.
Yeah.
And in sex positivity, I think there's just so much more to it.
To
okay,
what
pause.
You are.
Right.
To
pause.
What you are.
Well, okay, he's, you know, it's hard to speak on camera. Then she goes into her story about being assaulted or possibly raped. And he, oh man, like we all know he's willing to read a book, right? He must know a lot about sex positivity, maybe because of Katie.
Oh my God, a book.
Yeah, well,
you know what would have been nice here is if he had dropped a mention of anything he'd read about what sex positivity is, since he so explicitly mentioned the dementia book with the Claire thing, right? And it was very right. much mentioned in the vein of like, well, now I read this book for nothing, you know?
Well, I feel like he did... wanted to act like he's always been sex positive. That's always been part of who he was. Obviously, for people like Craig who would dare question that he's just a horny dude.
Right.
No, it's sex positivity. So I'm going to unpause the clip. So she tells her story, and then he says,
always be very, very mindful of that, I guess, topic. And just because I have been open and, you know, declared that I am very sex positive, I never want you to feel a certain way or scared of me in any form like that.
So, I mean, it could be said that he thought, ooh, how can I woke wash my horny dudeness? And then, but what if Katie did that too? What if, like, Katie did not, I mean, isn't that kind of what it is?
He didn't know about Katie's story, right? He didn't know she was.
We don't know if he knew or not. I don't think he knew the full details, but I suspect he knew there was something there to ask, because the way he phrased in that first clip, right, about how, you know, some people just see the surface level, but I know it's something deeper than that. I don't read Blake as a person who would be able to intuit that on his own. I think a producer whispered in his ear, there's more to the story. Why don't you ask her about
it? Well, I mean, what he said in the second clip is what you have to say after somebody tells you a sexual assault rape story. I mean, what else could he say? I mean, he handled it well in that sense, because there's literally nothing else you can say other than you're sorry to hear that, and you hope that you'll never make her uncomfortable. Right? Am I right, Easier?
Yeah. I mean, that's not up for dispute. You can both be sex positive, but then you're also, or whatever, you can both just want to have sex all the time. Let's just say I'm washing away their labels, because I feel like they're lying to us. And they just really want to have sex with each other.
Well, that'll work great for the first. When does sex all the time run out? After 3 months, 4 months, 5 months? It's like all sex positive fun and games until 5 months. Yeah, until you get pregnant.
You get pregnant, and then you're like this.
Yeah, I think my sort of read on that conversation was, I don't think he knew that it was going to be a story about sexual assault or rape. I think he was given a hint that there'd be something much deeper there. But I also think his instinct was, this is clearly a horny dude. We know that from the Clarentatia season. He loves his own penis. He loves talking about sex. So proud of the boner he got on the date. All of that kind of stuff, right? Horny, horny guy. I think part of the reason why he was so drawn to Katie and was like, messaging her like, did a great job on your season, wanted to be on her season, is he saw sex positive woman, first openly sex positive bachelorette. It's such a funny thing to say out loud, but you know what I mean, like, this is her, the platform of one of her major things that she's about on this show, right? And I think he read it on a very simple level of like, sex positive, that's a lady that loves to bone down all the time. Hey, that's me. I'm a guy who loves that too. So we already have that in common. Like, let's just go straight to that. And he probably did not foresee that the conversation about sex positivity and how you got to feel that way was going to be like a darker turn.
Right.
And more importantly, add on is that they both want to have sex with each other.
Yes, they actually, like, he is going to make it to fantasy suites, right? Because she wants to bone him.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Too bad.
He'll be the lowest, except for maybe Raven. Remember Raven and her yellow makeup? Remember her?
Yeah, from Nick Vial.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, except for maybe Raven, he's going to be the lowest point system person ever to go into a fantasy suite.
Oh, my goodness. Craig, why does it bother you so much? Maybe that's my question. Why does Blake? It bother you so much?
Yeah, have you seen his beard?
It's just a disparity.
You shouldn't be able.
That's it.
You shouldn't be able to wear that beard and go far in any setting.
He works out all the time. He's a wildlife advocate. I can't stress that enough.
Yes, okay. He's a wildlife advocate. That gains him a point. But I already gave you reasons why he subtracts points.
Right. His beard. That's your problem.
His sex obsession. Those are marks against him. He's not starting off with a high number anyway. So I think he's a little low.
Well, I don't.
And yet, somehow he's going to make it into the fantasy.
The conversation can be a little skewed because I think me and Craig at least kind of agreed that Katie is like, you know, she's a weird pick for The Bachelorette. Like, pretty much girl next door is going to go for kind of like a guy next door, ergo middle of the point system, ergo Blake.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're kind of seeing it's going to be Greg and Blake and maybe Connor.
The cat is not going to make it into the top four. He's not getting there. You know who is?
Why not?
Andrew S.
Yeah, Andrew S. could, but why wouldn't Connor, the cat guy, make it up?
I don't feel that she's attracted to him. I think it really, waned after that first week, right? That, like, I think she thought the cat thing was really funny. And so she liked that.
How can she be attracted to Blake but not Connor?
Listen, I don't know how to explain this to you. If it was, again, we've already established, I don't think Blake is attractive. I would be more attracted to Blake if I were in Katie's shoes than I would be to Connor the cat.
Yes, right. Me as
well. And there's a lot of reasons why. But
see, I'd go for Greg over everyone else, though.
Top five reasons. One of the in the top five would be this.
Would you wanna take a walk outside?
Ooh, stop it!
She liked it.
You suck, Connor.
She was crying.
Listen.
Are you tearing up?
Are you tearing up? He is such a fucking humble brag all the time.
And she likes it.
Just always dropping hints to give him so much praise. He is really, really like unbearable to me. Every time he's on screen, he does like shy in the like, oh.
Your Blake is Connor.
Yeah, well, Connor is my Jed. Yes, and that's why he's
to Caitlin too. Yeah.
He is absolutely a Jed, and you know what really cemented that for me more than anything else this week is during that exact scene. So that right, the ukulele song that takes place during the cocktail party after the group date, and his shirt, he's wearing a button-down gray shirt, is unbuttoned to the navel, and he has a long gold necklace that goes just as far as the unbuttoning down as well, right? And then he's playing the ukulele, and for something, it is so hard to explain this because I actually think the ukulele is very nice in general, but there's something worse about that vibe of the open shirt, long gold necklace. It is worse to me there that he's playing the ukulele than it is that he would be playing a guitar for some reason.
Yeah, no,
something about it.
Definitely not the, he's so smug. And I think we talked a lot about her open-mindedness, but she also seems so easy to manipulate. Like if someone sings you a song, is that really that exciting? Like I don't see that. So the whole bash ball thing feels like they all know how to play her now. They're aware of how manipulative they can, how far they can take the manipulation of her. Because she totally has the broken wing thing. She's just, you know, Michael A. got tackled in a game where all the dudes kind of unofficially agreed to get tackled. And, you know, I don't know how self-aware she is of how easy it is to manipulate her.
Right.
Are you watching TV?
No. can you hear the sirens?
Yeah, well, I heard something before that.
I heard something. It sounded like a bear growling or something.
Yeah.
No, there's just fire trucks going out.
Oh, okay. So you're watching a bear growling. Emergency show.
It was like, or maybe I'm watching
Wildlife
noise.
Managers.
Oh my god. Yeah, you're watching like Blake's YouTube channel or whatever.
Well, Craig, we talked about it. It's like the Hunter Royd come down, you know, and the whole she comes out like we're all winners here. And you know, being all I don't know, teachery to everybody, like let's just say we all won and let's just let them play if they want, if they're having issues with testosterone. And so that's also my Hunter thing, is that I am going to, let's see, I'm going to call it, and I'm going to say that that was definitely a producer rose. Craig, I'm doing your thing. Woo-hoo! I'm playing more stuff, but producer rose. She also, I felt, gave a producer rose to Trey, because that would be, you know, make Thomas nervous. In this case, she gave it to Hunter because everyone was pissed at him. He has become the new target in the house.
Yes.
Because he's gloaty. It's probably what Thomas did. There's no reason why she would give it to those two men. She is not that interested. And poor, I mean, I know you probably hate Hunter. I know you probably both do. But that is, she's messing with, I mean, the producer, Rose, is messing with him. He is like,
yeah,
he's in love now.
She could like
boy. World that's mating okay. her life.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Just put a line up in your head. You got Connor, you got Blake, you got Cat Guy. You might have Hunter. He fits in the same.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, she might like him.
Don't think so. No, her face does not like him.
Yeah. Really? I think that I'm with Easier on this one. I don't think she like dislikes him or anything, but I think he's ranking fairly low on the list of guys that she is interested in and or attracted to. And I also agree that Aplu is a producer pick for that, because when you see her interactions with the other men on that evening portion of the group date, she would have given that rose to Greg or to Michael based on their time together, right? She wouldn't have given it to Hunter. So she was told, give it to Hunter because that will cause drama with the other men now being mad at Hunter for like being too aggressive during bash ball and then like gloating about his connection with Katie and like how pissed they were at the end of
the episode. Just a great division. Yeah.
It was real. So weird. It was came out of nowhere in a lot of ways, that drama, that the men were like, how dare he has a rose? How dare he even speak to her on this evening of all evenings, you know? And it was like, but isn't this what happens most cocktail parties? Like, I know the guys with the roses probably are, you know, they're less trying to steal her time or whatever, but it's not like they're avoiding her completely.
Yeah. Yeah, it made no sense. And I'm still waiting for Aaron to really lose it. Because that's he's going to go down.
He's losing it every episode. Piece by piece.
But we need a big chunk to fall off before he's really going to lose it. We're seeing him, slide.
Every single week, he finds a new man to be like, that guy's a bad guy. He shouldn't be here.
He should be eliminated or exterminated.
Yes.
But that could be true.
I mean, I think a lot of them probably are guys who are, you know, not great guys to be dating the Bachelorette. But it is funny that he is constantly on camera being like, listen, I just noticed this guy. You know what? I don't think he's right for Katie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do we want to talk about Hunter or did we just talk about Hunter?
I had everything I had to say. He does seem, he was not as interested in her as he was after she gave him the producer rose.
Yeah, and he kind of went psychopathic on her.
Yeah, that's probably what he does all the time. He's like, now I'm obsessed with you. You are now my wife. I must take you to my cave.
I think what happened was...
Hole dug in his basement.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He got that little bit of validation. Right, because he got that group date rose. And I think he said this in his to-camera interview where he was like, all the men who were in the house except for two, and the two being Blake and Andrew S. because they got the one-on-ones, were on this date. And of these men, except for those two, he got the rose, right? So I think for Hunter, that was like the signal that was basically like, I have a real shot here. She mm-hmm. likes me. Now he's like 3,000% in, you know, he's planning extra dates. He's talking about how, you know, he's going to marry her at the end of this. He wants her to meet his kids and all of this kind of stuff. So I think it really,
gross. Yeah.
Yeah, like turned a corner there.
There yeah. is nothing grosser than when they use percentages incorrectly. I get very, it's one of those, you know, when people say, have a spelling mistake or use, did he say that? 3,000% in?
No, that was okay. me, like, exaggerating.
Oh. But I can see him saying
yeah,
that.
You hate me and how I
vicariously threw that one comment. No, I get what you're saying, but that is something he would say, and that's why you said it. And it's not like something you would normally say, but, yes. And, oh, yes. I mean, he seems just doofy, though. Honestly, this is hard to hate a doofy guy, because he is totally clueless. He doesn't know what's happening.
I don't know. He could be dangerous.
Yeah, he could definitely. He has that like short man syndrome, like kind of, right? He has to be the toughest, the moist, roid, ragey guy because he's shorter than them. That doesn't mean he's short, but he definitely was on the smaller side of all of them, right?
Yeah, I think he is. Michael A is on the shorter side too, but I think when you're seeing them standing together, a lot of this is probably skewed because some of these guys are like 6'5" or whatever. Yeah. So
that's true.
Yeah. It's like hard to tell. Like where it's like, oh, they look short compared to that guy, which probably means they're like 5'11" or something.
Yeah. It's right.
I did write down this one quote from Hunter because I thought it was so funny. He is kind of clueless and doofy, but when all the other men were complaining about, you know, like, I think Hunter took it too far. And like, Aaron's like, this guy's a bad guy now. And then they show Hunter's to camera interview. And he says, personally, I loved the aggression level.
Yeah. That's totally him. I mean, it has to be. So, Greg was, well, I guess Michael A told his story. If you guys want to talk about that, I am not super interested in all of them. It looked like, you know, they got their sangria punch LSD'd. Like they all started just breaking down and like freaking out at like a god.
Wait, where
did you see that?
Where do you get sangria that has LSD?
Oh, it's from a movie where there's this complete breakdown of this party and they all get weirdly roofied and then like crazy stuff starts happening where like a kid gets fried and there's incest and it yeah. just felt like that. It was very like
what
breaking
movie
down
is that?
Society. Oh, it's a movie by Gaspar Noé called Climax that is worth checking out for all the Bachelor fans. Every Bachelor fan of the franchise should watch.
It sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah, it's a horror movie. Yeah.
Have you seen the new Purge movie yet?
No, I don't
final
know how
purge.
To. You know the pandemic is making me feel like a 13-year-old again. Where like I don't know where to get a CD from. Like how will I access this movie? Like I have no idea how to watch anything that I want to watch. Right. Like if it's not on my TV, then I really don't know what to do. Like I can't do anything. So yeah, I want to watch right. The Purge.
Well, you have Hulu.
I think you can get it on your TV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's a thing that you can. A lot of movies are doing this now still, right? Where they're releasing
yeah,
in theaters, but they're also at
but
the same time.
But some of them are waiting. You know, like, I guess my, like, Tenant, which is yeah. my only example. Like, no one knew how to watch it. Everyone's like, it's only in theaters? That's the same thing with this new M. Night Shyamalan movie, the old I Want to Watch It, kind of, because the preview looks good. And then they said, only in theaters. I'm like, what? How am I supposed to do that? I don't know what to do. So, unrelated.
I saw that trailer, the M. Night Shyamalan right. old one, because I think it was playing during The Bachelorette.
Yeah, that's probably why I saw it.
And the name of the movie made me do like a literal laugh out loud. And they're like, time is passing so quickly here. And it was like, old.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, I feel that. That's me all the time, though.
Yeah, he's he's not out of themes, but he's out of good ways to explain them. Because there's a great movie that he did where it was, man, I don't want to ruin it, but it had, I don't even know what it's called. That's why I can only explain it by ruining it. But it's a good movie. It has Zooey Deschanel and someone else in it. Anyway, it's good. But the way it was explained and the way the movie is marketed was really horrible. And then when people try to explain it by giving away the ending, it sounds even worse. But it wasn't bad. So
you're really selling this here.
I accidentally have said it a few times, and people go, "I wanted to see that." So I could tell you, but the trees kill people, or like the plants kill people.
I have no idea.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to comment anymore on M. Night Shyamalan, because the only movies I've seen of his, I'm always just like, wait, that's what's going on here?
Yeah. No, a lot of it sucks, but some of the other ones, some have not sucked, and it's hard to tell. The old one looks good, though.
Sorry I brought up movies.
Yeah, you should be, because they all went into a spiral, and they looked trapped and scared of, like, wanted their mom. Like, didn't they? They all looked like. No. Michael A. was telling his story of his wife that died recently.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is what he was talking about. You're right.
Yeah.
It was his wife's birthday. Yes.
Dosed, yeah, from the sangria. Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. So because Michael A. was accidentally slipped LSD, he's now telling Katie about how it was his wife's birthday yesterday.
It's he slipped the LSD with his story, Craig. The story was the LSD in this analogy.
Yeah. And they all, like, started, I feel like stories like this have been told before, and the men have never been this affected. They all looked like they were, it looked like they all witnessed, like they all went through some cathartic thing together. And it was just him telling the story he had already told previously to less men who did not feel that way.
Yeah, yeah. I think, so he told this larger group, right? Before he told, I remember it was Mike P. the Virgin was there the first time. And I think there was only one other guy, and maybe it was the Canadian firefighter, I'm forgetting. But those two guys were the only ones who knew before. And then he tells the other, like, 10 that didn't know. And this is interesting to me for a few reasons. First, I have a theory about what you're saying, Yuzira. Like, why were the men so emotional when other stories that are emotional or sad have been told on this show before? But yeah, like, Trey is literally crying. Greg is literally crying. Michael's crying as he tells the story. I honestly think a lot of it has to do with the pandemic and how we lived through this, like, collective trauma together. And I feel like people are just more emotional in general, if that makes sense. That, like, it's easier to trigger stuff now. I mean, I've always kind of been like that in terms of, if somebody starts crying as they tell a story to me, I will just automatically start crying. You know,
like, even on TV.
I'll be like, I'm crying now, and I don't feel like why that happens. But not, it's also possible that, like, this was just a group of men that happened to have that auto reaction all together. But the other thing I wanted to talk about with this, because it's, I don't know if this is going to be controversial or not, but this story is told about Michael and his wife dying, and how the day before was her birthday. And his point kind of in this story is saying, you know, that love is this beautiful thing, and, you know, you never know. Time is precious because, you know, people can die of illnesses all of a sudden, etc. Greg, as he's crying, he does, like, a to-camera thing. It's basically like, I didn't know this had happened to Michael. He's so, like, cheerful in the house, and he smiles all the time, and I had no idea he had this, like, deep pain inside of him. And then he's like, and this makes me think every day is precious. And now I know I need to tell Katie that every day is precious and we are meant to be together. I see that clearly from the story that Michael told about love, that like, right. I am in love now. And I just felt, it felt very, very, very manipulative to me. It felt like a big red flag in terms of not just him saying that to camera, which probably wouldn't have felt as big of a deal to me, but then he does go to Katie afterwards and has this like very emotional seeming talk and gets this huge reaction out of her by saying, you know, she says to him that he has resting sad face and he usually looks like a lost puppy dog. Yeah. And that one of her biggest fears is him leaving the show. Yeah. I feel like he was really spinning her here in a way, right? That he was like, I just felt an emotion from a story that somebody else told me about love. I'm now going to use that in my work here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely like a narrative arc that we, because he gets up. If they wanted to only concentrate on the story and the men like breaking down, they could have. But then he gets up and they leave that story behind. No one else, you know, feels, everyone feels that way. But Greg is the only one who gets the initiative, right?
Yes. I mean, and, I guess they all could have rushed to Katie in a large gang to be like, Katie, we've all realized some deep things about love.
Yeah.
And we're willing to do this forever. Let's all date you. but there is a, yeah, so he goes and, you know, that then you're supposed to, the rose is in contention because Greg really spilled his guts and whatever, but he didn't, you know, he did not. And, her saying that though, that's the thing, is that men manipulate her, but then she gives them the key to manipulate her, saying, I'm scared of you leaving. He is starting to scare me. And I think him being all kissy huggy friends with Connor is like red flag central. Those two are like, they are the Cassie and Kaylin of the season. They seem like they're both really disingenuous. If you guys remember,
Cassie and Kaylin. So your crush on Greg is over.
Well, it's not that it's over. It's not gone. But the first episode, I said, there's something up with him. He's a good-looking man. He pretends like he's not aware of it, but he is. No one's ever checked him to tell him, hey, man, like, what you're kind of, like, not funny, not clever, not interesting. Because he doesn't have to care because he's that good-looking. Pretends like he doesn't know who he is. And then he has bigger aspirations than just being on the show. And he's friends with Con. Okay. Caitlin, I totally kind of agree with you because I've never seen two men on The Bachelor hug as much as Connor and Greg were hugging.
Did you guys see like that? Best friend. They were cuddling on the couch, full on cuddling together. Cuddling. And in then two later separate on, scenes. Yes, because they have another scene where when Blake is on the one-on-one, which of course Blake gets the one-on-one the second he enters the house because the producers it'll love make that it mad. Now.
Yeah.
Yes, and Connor B and Greg talk about Blake together, and Connor B's like, do you see Blake as a contender? And Greg says, yes, a big one. Those guys are like BFF in the house, and we know that Connor B is here for the wrong reasons, for sure, right?
Yeah.
That guy's a Jed through and through. Like, he is looking to try to jumpstart his music career. He doesn't want to be a math teacher anymore. He wants to just be a musician.
Right.
Which makes it even more suspect that Greg is so close to this guy of like, you know, there's plenty of men in there that seem nice and like they might not be explicitly looking for like only career bounces. Right. Like I would buy that Michael the Widower is there for genuine reasons. I might be naive, but I believe that he is just like, I don't think he's going to be able to stay the entire season out for just emotional reasons. But I don't think he came on this show being like, I'm going to get a big career out of like being the sad widower on TV. I think he was fun. Maybe I'll fall in love. You know?
I think that they'll quote right reasons to be on this show are actually wrong reasons for the widower. Because,
yeah.
Like I said, last two episodes ago, that's weird. He went on here to drag a wife home. That's weird, but whatever, I guess.
So apparently he was recruited by the producers off of Instagram. They were like, cute widower dad, would you be on the show?
Oh, yeah, you read that somewhere?
Yep.
I want them to recruit me off Instagram.
Craig,
and they meet you in real life and you catfish the hell out of them.
Yeah, I could catfish them. That'd be funny.
Yeah. Okay. Andrew S's date. Here's my favorite quote, just to start it off. Unless you guys have anything else to say about the bash ball whatever date.
Oh. Or Hunter, no, I don't think so.
Or Hunter, whoever. Andrew S. has proven himself to obviously be a football player because his question was, what's the weather like in Seattle? Did you guys, as Americans, let's just say we're not counting the rest of the world, there are like five places we know what the weather is like.
Right. And Seattle is one of them.
Yes. Probably the number.
I've been pretty lucky. There was a time I was going to Seattle pretty often, and I always happened to catch it on a sunny day.
I like rain. But that's not the point. That is not my point, Craig. My point is sometimes people ask a question, and okay, discount the fact that maybe he was nervous.
Yeah.
He said that.
Yes, the dumb question.
Which is totally 70% possible. But if anyone ever says anything that stupid, I am done.
Right
there and then. I am done. One time
You walk off.
I will leave. I will be gone. Because I don't know how you guys feel. One time I had this is a friend. This is not a date, but I had a friend.
Wait, am I going to have to cut this out?
No. This is another one of these kind of like there are some things that are just so obvious in life that you just don't, that if you miss them, it says a lot about you to me.
Right.
I had a friend once say something like, wait, Disneyland is famous all over the world? I thought only we knew about it, like people who lived in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
I like rarely talked to that person after that. Like I was like, you're an idiot. Like, are you an idiot? It's like the most famous thing ever. There's like three things people know about America if you don't live in America. But yeah, right. But let's just say he's nervous.
Is
but...
freedom one of them?
No.
Oh.
Wait.
Aren't we the beacon of freedom?
Caitlin, any comment about the Seattle thing?
I barely noticed that because I thought this date was so cute. I loved them together. Andrew S. is one of my favorite guys on this show.
He's almost too funny to date, though. You know what I mean?
Funny? What's so funny about
him? Well, he's goofy. He's
a cheesy, goofy, which I find endearing and I think would work for Katie, honestly, because she does like a little bit of cheese. We know that. So.
Oh, yeah. She loves like the bad puns. But like,
yes.
There's bad good puns and then there's bad bad puns. And she's not.
You know, you sound like the late Donald Rumsfeld with known unknowns and unknown unknowns.
That's a very smart thing. That's the smartest thing that man ever said. It's true. out of context.
You mean Donald Rumsfeld.
Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, do That's you remember, pun, because
Craig, what do you
this is
about?
The thing I just learned this week, or was it last week, I guess, because he died, that he was named one of People's Sexiest Men Alive in 2002.
Ew.
What? 2002? Yes. Tell me 1971. And I
Donald Rumsfeld.
Still, he's Donald Rumsfeld. I don't care.
Just absolutely bonkers thing. But yeah, somebody was posting about it on Twitter because he died, so people were talking about him, obviously. And they were like, yeah, never forget that he was named one of people says he's man alive. Yeah.
There's hope for all of us now.
In the wake of 9/11, America was in a
power thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say America was in a weird place. I mean, we're still in a weird place, and we've been in this place for a long time, but that was just a stark reminder.
We were in an unknown unknown.
Well, unrelated. That's not a pun, but okay, you guys.
No,
like...
but it's not. I said that not because it was a pun, but because you said that there's good bad puns and bad puns. So sort of.
Oh,
like
I see. I see. I'm quantifying the word. I see.
Known knowns and unknown unknowns.
Right. I get you. Yeah. Right. Look it.
Hi.
You guys liked the date. Talk about how much you liked it, because I saw a lot of red flags. Go crazy.
Yeah, I didn't particularly find it all that charming. Don't
I didn't
look
find
at me.
It charming. Okay.
Wow.
Go ahead, Caitlin. Yeah, I did
all
not.
Right. I found
sounds
it
like
very unhappy. Super with charming.
All right. Go, Caitlin.
Okay, go ahead.
So what I liked about this is that it seemed like they did have chemistry with each other. That like that's talking to each other seemed easy. They seemed like they were having fun together. They're laughing, you know. The date concept itself is kind of stupid, but it did seem like they were enjoying it. At one point, Katie says she has a secret to tell him, and he's like, what's the secret? And she goes, I like you.
Yeah. So, and then a balloon explodes.
Yes. So I think she likes him. I do legitimately think that she has chemistry with him. And I thought that was kind of cute to witness, right? So I liked that.
Yeah. But come on. She's as much as she talks, she's not going to end up with a black guy. That's like 100% true.
Whoa. Well, you know what I did like? Uh-huh. Also about this.
Yeah, that's her fault.
Yeah, that is her fault. That they had that conversation that you're talking about, right? So Andrew says to his two-camera thing that he's come close to proposing before and then didn't. And he tells Katie about that, and that the reason why he didn't propose is that the woman he was dating then was also a white woman. And apparently she was worried about having mixed race kids with him and being in public places where people would say like, oh, those aren't your kids, which is, that's a red flag when you're dating somebody and they're like, I wouldn't want to have children with you because people might stare at us, you know.
Go ahead.
Well,
no, it is, but I read it differently.
I think what was interesting about this conversation in particular is that this is exactly the type of conversation that didn't happen with Matt James and Rachel Kirkconnell on TV, right? That
right.
It was very clear based on what happened with them that like she had never thought deeply about what it would mean to be dating a black man and potentially marrying a black man and having children with him. She just was completely blind to it. So I thought it was really interesting that, you know, Andrew directly brings up that conversation and they have a little bit of a discussion about what it would mean to be in an interracial relationship. I don't think that Katie's answer wasn't bad per se, but it wasn't as deep as potentially you might want in this situation. Like, she says she's naive, which I think is a great point here, right? That like to say like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing because my experience is different there. But yeah, it did feel a little bit like she went a little overboard in being like, I would never be racist like your ex was, you know?
Oh, I have that audio here. I have the audio of her answering. And I want to play it, but I want you to go ahead and I don't know, like, when I should play it because it seems applicable, but I also want to talk about it, too. Go ahead. Finish your thing.
Oh, I didn't have much more else that we could, you know, do before the audio. I liked that the conversation even happened because I think we talked about this last season, and I probably explicitly mentioned it then, but, like, yeah, as a person who has been in interracial relationships, we absolutely talked about race together, right? Because like I'm the white one and we're gonna have conversations about like what does that mean? Because it's kind of weird to never discuss that, you know? So I was like, oh, well, the fact that you're bringing it up is nice. Like, I think it was just, I mean, maybe this has happened on other seasons, although I kind of doubt it based on how The Bachelor is.
Yeah, not really.
Like, maybe it happened and been cut before, but I was like, I think it probably just hadn't happened.
No, it probably had not.
Oh.
Why do you use that old ringer?
Sorry, that is, my mom was trying to FaceTime me during our call.
Oh, I thought that was Craig, but is that your mom? It wasn't me. Like,
no, I get triggered by that ringtone.
Yeah, that ringtone is always like, why am I at the DMV? Okay. I have a, man, you know, I guess I should start off by saying, no matter what, I always have to have that conversation, whether it's because I'm dating someone of my quote own race, even though it's not really my own, you know, everyone's mixed. And then it comes into a colorism conversation, or I'm always in an interracial relationship, hopefully, because there's no one place I come from like anybody else. Okay. So unrelated to that, we will get into that. There's a lot of warm up. If I was Andrew, which he doesn't seem as concerned as I would be, there's a lot of warm up red flags Katie had. Going, your dad getting sent to jail or deported is not the same as divorced parents, Katie. Like that shit, I would be, stop right there. Stop right there, Katie. That's ridiculous. That is mega ridiculous. Your parents don't get along and don't want to go to your game. Okay, that's ridiculous. his ex was rightfully worried. I don't know the context. He said she's not racist. She might have come from an actual place of concern for her kids. It didn't, the way he made it sound like it was her asking questions. But I have known too many people, and this is only basically online and like a few handful in real life, that are so self-righteous because they've had mixed children. And watch out, here comes the race ender racism lady coming through because she has mixed children. Dear Lord, stop everything. Like, they are out of their minds with how like progressive they are to themselves. And it's so eye-rolly to me, right? To people who just live and exist, just have to, like, their lives are that without them look searching for it. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but this conversation, I mean, Andrew has a good attitude about it. Good for him. He also lives in Europe where things are a little different. So, I don't know where he's from in United States. But who knows? Maybe that colors his life differently. I felt like Katie's speech was almost old, not super old on The Bachelor, but more or less old. It was an I don't see color speech, which was not okay anymore, right? Never was, but let's just say it's not okay anymore. So here's what I heard.
No, that has never crossed my mind. And maybe that's because I'm naive as a white woman, you know, but, and maybe that's just in the community that I live in, but I've never had to think that way because to me, all I want in life is love.
Mm-hmm.
Community that I live in, that means you don't get it.
All she wants is love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a colorblind speech.
Yeah.
Look, like,
I know exactly what you're saying there. What that sounded like to me is that she has never thought about what it would be like to have interracial children and be in an interracial relationship because she's probably never dated anybody who wasn't white and she lives in a primarily white place.
Right. Therefore, she's going to act super self-righteous and virtue signally about it. And she doesn't have to deal with it. Maybe she meant it as, no one cares where I live. There's tons of people like that. Maybe that's like giving her the benefit of the doubt. But the way it came out was very much like, I don't know anything about it, but it's fine with me. And maybe I'm naive because I don't know anything about it. And that's what I have to say. But honestly, it's fine. It'll be fine. So wrong. Like, she's just wrong. She's wrong all over the place. She has, I can't believe someone who knows, who is obviously 2021, does not know how to say this correctly. Especially someone who's supposedly Kate sex positive like her, who obviously knows the lingo, knows the woke speak, knows this, knows that, does not know how to say that. Well, isn't that weird?
What would be the woke speak?
I understand that this would be a big problem and we should really talk about it if we get to that spot. And I need to understand what it would be to raise a child that is black.
That's the woke speak.
No, that's not the woke speak. That's just the correct thing to say. But if you want to be on TV, the woke speak would be, I can't believe you've ever gone through that. That, you know, it'd be self-righteous and virtue signally.
Right.
But there is a conversation that would need to be had. It obviously needed to be kept a little light because Andrew was just smiling through it no matter what she said. But
yeah, and it seemed like
no.
to me when he brought this up, right, that it was coming up because this is when he got the one-on-one and this was one of the stories that he wanted to get into was this past that he'd had of dating another white woman, right? And that maybe, I mean, in an ideal world, I guess this would have been a lot deeper of a conversation and he would have set it up differently and they would have gone in depth more and maybe he wouldn't be smiling the whole time, but they're on TV, so he is going to be smiling the whole time pretty much no matter what she says, because she's not going to say something like, I'm not giving you the rose. I don't want mixed race children, right? Like, she's not going to say that.
It is a strategy to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't even think it's like that calculating necessarily. I think it's just also the kind of situation where you bring this up knowing that even if the person felt a different way, like the lead felt a different way, that they would not say that on TV at any point. They would never admit to that. Or at least not now in 2021, like maybe, well, they wouldn't even be having a conversation about having like interracial children like 10 years ago on The Bachelor. So it is also interesting to compare this to what we remember of the conversation, thinking back to when Ivan and Tayshia had that conversation about race on her season. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which was not, to my memory, it was not explicitly about like children that you would have together, but it was more about like, hey, let's talk about being black people in America at this time. And that Tayshia had seemed like she was not prepared to have that conversation. She didn't think that was going to come up on camera, right? Which is interesting to me because I would assume in this situation with Katie and Andrew S., right? If I were the lead of this show, where I had this pool of men that I'm dating and many of them are either black or they're people of color, you know, it's not just all white men like it's been in the past. I would assume that the conversations were going to happen at some point with the guys who are making it far enough. Right. So you would think you'd be prepared to have that conversation.
Also, I guess the Bachelor at this point needs to do check-ins. By episode 5, have we addressed the things that make people get mad online? Yes, you know, like, this is not, who knows how Andrew really feels? Is he, I don't know if this was his, you know, these are the things that I want to talk to about at some point. Would he have talked about this so early on? It's not important yet at all. So I don't trust the show to really give us anything. And we said something a few podcast episodes ago about how The Bachelor, how I really used to like The Bachelor because it didn't care about society. It didn't care what was happening in the world, did not care about bombs or wars or suffering children. And I don't agree at all, but at least it's masks off America, right? America does not care. And I prefer masks off. And now that it cares, it fake cares, which is way more insulting. So I don't trust it.
That's yeah, a I mean, hot that's take. A
completely fair way of thinking about this, right? That, like, in an environment of classic Bachelor, in which they would never have conversations about race or sexual assault on TV, right? Or even, like, alcoholism, which had come up recently. Like, that stuff just wouldn't be on this show. That it would have been seen as a purely escapist mode of entertainment. That it does not deal with the world as it is, because it exists in a separate world where we're not at war and nothing bad is ever happening. And all people are equal, obviously, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I think in some ways, I feel like some of the backlash to The Bachelor over the last few seasons, like, you know how some people now are like, oh, I'm boycotting the show because Chris Harrison isn't on. I think those folks are like, they want a world in which you don't ever have to even address these things. They would like to, it's permanently like 1995, but somehow totally even better and fine. You know, it's like an imagined perfect past, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree, not because I need an escape, because I am always, obviously, this is why we have this podcast. We're always thinking about these issues, despite what they say on the TV, right? But have you guys ever heard that theory about Clarence Thomas? You guys know Clarence Thomas, the justice, like...
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So the terrible Supreme Court justice, yes.
Yeah.
He's never once said anything during a Supreme Court session.
Right. Someone wrote a book about him, and I thought it was, oh my gosh, it like changed my world, because I love following Nina Totenberg and her reading of the Supreme Court. Like, I will sit there and listen to a whole reading of like pages and pages of back and forth. But apparently the theory is that he is so radical that he believes in like complete just pull the rug out from everybody so that we all survive, and then real kind of hierarchy can be established within, I don't want to say it's a class issue, it's definitely a race issue for him, but that to me is, if we're going totally crazy theory, that's an interesting theory. I kind of agree with him now, you know, I can see that. So the reason I mentioned this is I forgot something about why it's weird. It could be that, I forgot. But I think my reasoning is that I love, you know, when I'm watching The Bachelor, I am thinking about all those things. And so when they start bringing stuff in that is slightly, I don't want to say it's slightly wrong, I just want to say it's slightly right, because it's not there, that's much more harmful, and I think purposefully much more harmful. And we have this, I feel like we have this conversation every season now, right, Craig? Like in the past like 3 years since like Rachel Lindsay, basically. But it definitely does not, it does a disservice, and I think purposefully, to mm-hmm. any kind of conversation of actual progress. And that's right. The point.
Yeah, but it's like a band-aid kind of situation, right? That they don't need to make any actual changes in anything or think deeply about how this show reflects America. Because if we just throw on some conversations of people being like, hey, race, wokeness, that it like fixes it somehow, right?
Yeah. Right. But also, just to like take it one more step, why isn't Katie, this Andrew date really changed my mind about her. I used to think she would at least be able to answer that question, or at least be able to acknowledge what happened, like what's going on. But when she started saying, oh yeah, I get it. Your dad was in jail. My parents were divorced. I get it. No. So yeah. I was like, what is going on? Is she not who she says she is? She just researched the thing that personally affected her, but has no idea about any other of like any other level of why it's important to kind of reach a point of equity in society. So it really changed my mind about her for the worse.
Yeah, I think that was, there's a lot there, and I guess we'll see if we get more on these subjects going forward. But it was interesting to me also, as you're bringing this up, that, you know, Andrew was talking about how they have so much in common and their backgrounds. And I think when they'd mentioned it before, a few episodes ago, it hadn't been clear that the reason why his dad wasn't around was that his dad was in jail, right? It had been like, I also come from a family that was poor and my parents were not together or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then this episode, it's like, oh, because your dad was in jail. And Andrew, the way he is talking about it, I mean, I think a lot of this is stuff that, like, I'm trying to do two, like, armchair therapist kinds of things. But he says, you know, why would his dad ever choose to not be there for his family and for his kids? And I was like, oh, there's a lot of deep-seated stuff that you could be working through with a comment like that too, right? To say, like, if your dad was in jail, it does not mean that they chose not to not be there for you, right?
What, either, right, either he's blaming his dad for something that it was not in his control but felt like it was, or there was something that happened that he felt it was in the dad's control.
Yes. There's something could be. Yeah, which could totally be, it could be something where he's like, you could have easily not done that thing that you would have got caught doing, you know? So, but yeah, I think like that conversation was interesting just because it was so, there's so much under there that we don't know about, but you do have a really good point in Katie saying, you know, similarly, like, yeah, my dad also wasn't there for me because my parents got divorced. And it was like, well, yeah, but your dad could have chosen to show up to your, like, soccer games or whatever, presumably, even if he hated your mom at the time, he could have just sat separately.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I have nothing to add to this conversation, which you two have done a very good job of going through, other than to ask if we have any more topics, and if not, if we should do fashion.
Oh, yeah, I have fashion thoughts.
Okay.
Hit the fashion.
Caitlin, you gotta send me a drop.
This is the fashion roundup.
Freaking Caitlin.
No, it's only ever gonna work if we go back.
Yeah.
KPFK and re-record it with Caitlin in there. That's the only way.
So
it's
that means
work.
You'd
don't live in
you'd
the same
have to
state.
Wait until I visit LA at some point. Like, that's what you have to wait for.
We sing a duet? I never thought of that.
So many duets. I got so... First off, producer... what was it? wait for me. Producer Rose. Can you guys do that one? Please.
Okay, on the count of three, say Producer Rose. Caitlin.
All of us? Oh.
Me and Caitlin, on the count of three, will say Producer Rose. One, two, three. Producer Rose.
It's supposed to be one, two, three, go. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Talk your fashion. Because that sucked. We can't do it on the podcast time.
Yeah,
no, right. I think also takes we have different takes. Cadences of how we pronounce producer and Rose, Craig. So
yes.
We'd have to sort out some of those issues.
Well, that means you're going to come to LA and we're going to record in the studio. That'd be fun.
I would definitely love to at some point. You know, I mean, I'm sure we've talked about this on the podcast before, that I have never been to LA before. So
right.
I would love to do that. We will see when it is feasible to do.
All right. There you go.
All right.
Making deals.
Yeah, it already happened in my dream. So I'm kind of like, you're coming again. You already were hanging out on Craig's couch with me.
Yeah, that's right. You had that dream where I was there.
Adam, too. Invite Adam.
Anyway, oh, my gosh. Yes, podcast super fan Adam.
Yeah, and Jocelyn. That'd be funny.
And Jocelyn. Okay, oh guys. God. Weird skin dresses, like alligator skin, but not.
What, you mean Katie's dresses?
Yeah, they're weird. They're skin tight. Oh,
they were a little weird this year. Or, sorry, this year, this week.
I loved her clothes this episode.
It looks good on her. I just don't... I'm just so... You know, she loves a big coat over anything, but then she wears skin-tight dresses. Really skin-tight. And I can't picture where that, like, coral one... Where it came from on a different show, or why it bothers me, or why it's kind of nostalgic. But it is weird. Right?
It was almost like a size too small. I'll give you that.
So, you know, like that dress that you're talking about, which I think she was wearing on, was that the group date evening portion?
Yeah, I think it was towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, it was like a reddish, coralish, like latex look kind of dress. So like skin tight. I think it might, I don't know if it was made out of latex exactly, but something similar to that. And so like very tight, very like a dress that you would look at and be like, sexy dress. Like that's a dress you wear to feel and look sexy. It kind of reminds me of something that you would see in the late 90s, early 2000s on like a cool hot girl at a party in a movie, you know? And I liked it. I also think it could be like a Love Island thing. I'm sure they've worn stuff like that on there too.
Man, you guys in Love Island, huh?
Love Island is so good.
They're the cutting edge. Yeah, it's like it tells you everything you really need to know.
I watched 5 minutes of the American version and I gave up.
All right, the American one is trash. Don't watch the American one. You got to watch the British one.
Yeah. No, we've been talking about Love Island on this podcast since its inception.
It's comparable. I kind of do like the second season of the American one because I felt like now there's the honest conversation. Actual people of color with actual other people of color. Because I feel for The Bachelor, you are not in a cool relationship unless you're white with someone else. You know, in real life, people of color get together with other people of color all the time. And those people are totally ignored. And on Love Island, they are not. And so it's interesting, you know, it's like how real life works, unlike The Bachelor. The Bachelor is always this white prize, like white guy prize. Oh, the white girl prize. Right. That doesn't it feel that way? Like everyone, like it in a way, you know, Andrew was kind of hinting at that he kind of only dates white women. That's so did the past Bachelor, Matt James. That's not always, that's rarely true.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard to tell fully, but that story he told did at least make clear that his most serious relationship was with a white woman.
Right.
So yeah, that's what remains to be seen. What else in the dating history, I guess. But yeah, I liked Katie's dresses. So the red.
So the one we're talking about is not the same as a similarly colored dress that she wore for most of the second half that had a slit on her left leg that had black.
It's the same leg. One.
Or no, that's like different.
Yeah. No, this is a different one.
Oh, it's the same. It's different, but it's also coral colored, except for the black like lace up thing.
She wore two kind of coral things.
She wore two like reddish dresses. One was a mini dress that was skin tight and latexy, and that was on the group date evening portion. And then for the rose ceremony cocktail party, she wore another reddish corally dress that was full length, but with a slit that went very high up one leg. Yeah. And then it had these little like black, I think they were little black chains connecting the top part.
To keep it closed.
Yes, to keep it closed. And it was also a one shoulder, and the sleeve that was there was a long sleeve, not like a sleeveless one shoulder.
Got it easier?
Yeah. I gotcha.
I mean, if you're going to wear a slit, if you're going to wear a slit, wear the slit. Don't have this chain thing going on. I wasn't a fan of that.
I liked it. I think I know what you're saying, but you know, sometimes you gotta hold it in so you don't get a flash of just a vagina out there, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, it's like a hint of modesty that you have to have on these shows, right?
I mean, yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, I think, you know, the Love Island comparison again, you could wear a dress on Love Island that didn't have the details to keep it closed. And, you know, if you flash something, they would either just, you know, show it because they don't always blur stuff out.
What's like, the BBC, like, baby?
Yeah, especially like, oh, that's a naked butt that's not censored in any way. Or like, you know, one of your girlfriends or whatever would be like, oh, you're flashing something, hold that close. You know, they wouldn't worry about the danger in that sense. Oh, one outfit she also wore that I really liked was the date with Andrew S., her outfit for that. Do you remember what she was wearing? Because I have a written description.
Why don't you give us the written description here?
Okay, so she shows up to pick up Andrew S. for the date, and all of the men are like, whoa! She's wearing an all-black outfit, and the top and the bottom are both, I would say, like, leather look. I don't think they're made out of leather. It's probably, like, a pleathery sort of thing, but, you know, like a shiny black pants and black top. Kind of looked like it was maybe a little jacket as the top. She's wearing a belt on the black pants. It's a big gold chain. And then the shoes are black ankle boots that have matching little gold chains on the back of them.
Right. Very complicated.
Loved it. I love those ankle boots. I have boots that are kind of like that, actually.
So you like the all black, kind of like a biker, but not really, with gold accessories look.
Oh, yeah. That's like literally what I wear when I'm going out.
All right.
If I'm like, I'm going to get dressed up to look cool, but also good, that's the kind of thing I would wear.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
EZR is keeping her mouth shut. Or she's muted. We don't know. We can never tell during fashion roundup. Maybe EZR, because
she leaves during fashion
roundup. Yeah.
I don't remember the outfit to begin with. And even when you describe it, it puts me farther away from what I thought I remembered. I do not notice their clothes at all. Except for when it really stands out.
Yeah, but we're learning so much about Caitlin here.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm listening.
Well, here's a thing that you might have noticed, EZR, is when Connor B. and Greg are cuddling on the couch at the very beginning of the episode, did you notice that Connor B. is wearing glasses here, and they're like large, oversized, kind of circular glasses? It looks like a big oversized Harry Potter, like a hipster Harry Potter look, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's been the look for a while. The circly glasses that I always thought were so ugly on most everybody. But I guess everyone thought like my glasses were ugly on, you know, my glasses were in style at one point. And everyone's like, oh, you shouldn't wear big black frames. That's weird. That's ugly. So it's the same thing happening now where I'm like, that's ugly.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it's not a look that I think makes sense.
It looks bad on him.
Yeah.
His head is way too small. That's why they look oversized.
It looked like comically oversized. It was very unflattering on him. And then combine that with his completely open shirt ukulele playing later on.
Oh, yeah. And she likes to hold heads like by the ears. And that's where I would be like, your head is too small. I am not interested. Can you imagine?
EZR's busting out the calipers on the skull, being like, too small.
He's the perfect, like, it's not a catfish situation, but it is the Tinder, like, switcheroo. Oh, you're tiny in person. Ew, weird. Like, are you, you know, no. Don't you think? Caitlin, you date people. Isn't that true? Doesn't that happen sometimes?
You kind of lost me here.
You date people.
In real life, the proportions matter a lot, i.e. Blake, probably way better looking in real life, Craig. But no. Connor, maybe he could take some good pictures and totally almost catfish people.
So this is many years ago at this point, and I am out having brunch with a group of girlfriends. And we are most of us single at this point in time. And one of my friends has been having a conversation with this guy where she is interested in him. He seems cute enough in the pictures, not like you know, like one of those situations you'd be like, oh, that guy's cute, but not like, whoa, you know. But the primary reason she was super into him, and you'll love this, EZR, is his job was that he worked in like owl rescues.
That's
cool.
And she likes owls and was just like, whoa, that's cool. Like, let's talk about the owls. And so they're having these conversations about the owls. And she's like, you know, maybe I'll get to meet the owls if I go out with this guy.
So already that's bad news. That means you're not interested.
But she's telling us about this guy. And as we're talking about
having
him,
a good job gives you more points, EZR.
No, that's not my point. Having a job that sounds interesting to me only is what gives you points.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right, so here's what happens. We're discussing him, and he texts her at that very moment, right?
Ooh, creepy.
And what he says and does in these text messages made, of the five people at this table, four of the five of us say, you cannot go out with this man. It was, you know, they had tentatively said maybe they're going to go out in like 2 days' time or something. And so he's texting to be like, oh, so let's meet up at X, Y, and Z thing. And then he sends a photograph of himself. And the caption with it is like, so you know what I look like for when we meet up, which is kind of weird because there's already pictures of him like on the profile. So presumably you'd have a good idea. But the photo he sends is he's lying in bed. He's not like he's not showing a penis or anything here. That's not the level we're talking about, but he's lying in bed. He has a blue light bulb like in his lamp, so all of the light is blue in the photograph. And it's shot completely, it's almost like a MySpace photo where, you know, it's shot from above to have like the flattering angle or whatever. So it's like coming from a really far above angle. The light is entirely blue and his facial expression is, there's not a hint of a smile anywhere. His eyes are like cold and steely looking at you.
Creepy.
Yes. And she shows this photograph to us and we're all like, you cannot go out with that man. That's a murderer right there. And we still, this group of friends who are all like still very close and we're on a group chat together, we still sometimes will bring up this story because the one person at the table who is like not horrified by this photograph was the only one of our friends who was in a serious long-term relationship to a person she is now married to and has been with for like 15 years or some shit. Wow. And she was like, oh, I think he looks cute. And we're all like, you have the worst taste.
So how did your friend get out of the date?
Wait a minute. So you guys are saying that her 15 year relationship is not good.
We all love the person that she's with. We were just like, girl, you do not know how to tell like what is a good or bad picture.
She doesn't have a good radar for
serial killers. I think something
she hasn't
is like
dated.
She has not. The person she is married to is like her, I think, second ever like serious relationship, and they were dating in college and stuff. Like, it's a kind of situation where like you are not reading the warning signals in this photograph because you don't understand how dating works. And we were all just like, girl, what? No, that's a murderer. You cannot go out.
Wait,
with this
so
person.
How did your friend get out of the date with the murderer?
Me.
Oh, I think she just didn't respond. I think she just ghosted.
She just ghosted him? Whoa. Yeah.
Listen, if somebody sends you a murder selfie, you have to ghost.
Wow. That's a good story. It doesn't really have a punchline, but it's still a good story.
I'd be that
What
girl,
made me
though.
Think about this, right, was EZR's thing about, you know, taking good photos. I was like, the opposite is also true. If you take a truly terrible photo and send that to somebody, it can ruin the whole thing.
Yeah, totally, as it should. Wait, EZR, you would be what girl? You'd be the one
I would
one
be
that...
the girl who would be like, that's a red flag. Who knew? Even with all my experience, I'd still be like, huh, I didn't know that would be
you,
a red
so
flag.
So you would go out with this murder photo guy?
I want to meet an owl, yes. And like
literally, my friend was also like, well, maybe if I want to meet the owls.
Yeah. Yeah, the owls. Like, how bad can this guy be to meet the owls?
Yeah, I mean...
pretty sure there's a Law and Order episode.
The thing
about
men and pictures, it's hard because there's you know, before there used to be kind of the what do they call the Craig, on the metrosexual line, you know, like 20 yeah. years ago, like how much is that okay with heterosexual women? That this is not my question. This is a question people were like collectively asking themselves. Mm-hmm. And now the line is kind of like, you know, women take pictures of themselves and send them all the time. And it's not creepy because it's like, oh, we're supposed to think girls are cute when they do stuff like this. And so when a man does it, I can see why, like someone like Craig, you would totally do that. You would send a picture of yourself.
I'd consider sending a picture of myself, yeah, but it wouldn't be creepy. It'd probably be me out doing something.
For me,
you know, actually, I don't think I was.
In my cave woman brain, I think that's a little emasculating.
I probably wouldn't send a picture of myself. I'd just send a picture of something nice, like out, like the sunset.
Oh, all of a sudden, Craig's this gentleman. Yeah. Beautiful bouquet. No, Craig, I don't believe you.
I would.
I just think the rules are weird now, and therefore I have no gauge, I have no radar, I have no knowledge. No, and I think it's weird because I think there's so much fair, like women send pictures of themselves all the time and I would never do that. And men don't know whether to or not, but maybe want to, and I think it's weird.
Yeah.
Also.
Last thing before we leave, I want to mention that my favorite guest was on this week. Franco LaCosta made an appearance.
Yes.
Yes, and he was wearing tiny little short shorts. He and Wells Adams were both there and they were wearing the same outfit. But Franco accessorized better because Wells wore his sweatbands, you know, around his wrists where they were supposed to go. And Franco wore his around his upper thigh right below his like tiny, tiny little shorts.
Yeah. And he did, just speaking of emasculating stuff, he tried to emasculate them. And I thought that was awfully cute. So I have no line. I saw the end where he's like, everyone jump like a gazelle. Do it, do it. And they all did it. And it was so cute. I would totally be down for that. That's adorable.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a line.
Good way to end. Follow us on social media, DM us, leave a review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.